Good morning. It's a great time to know God and praise God. And I thank Pastor Sammy who gave privilege to me to stand here to share word of God with Cornerstone Community Church. You know that 1 rupee coin has two sides. One side is head, another side is tail. Both have value for that. Same way, God has two different nature. God is love, gracious, compassionate, good, which are most of the preachers and believers focus on. But most of us, the world forgot that there is another nature of God. That is, God is angry and wrathful, avenging. This sermon will remind you are in the hands of angry God. This sermon will help you a lot to take refuge in this God. If you won't take refuge in Him, this sermon will tell you, teach you, what will happen to you. So, I want to focus on, you should take refuge in the God. This sermon will motivate you. Open your Bible, turn with me, book of Nahum, verse 1 to 8. It is a minor prophet. It is in the Bible. Book of Nahum, verse 1 to 8, says this. It is after Micah. Book of Nahum, verse 1 to 8. The Oracle of Nineveh, the Book of Vision of Nahum, the Elkoshet. A jealous and avenging God is Yahweh. Yahweh is avenging and wrathful. Yahweh takes vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserves wrath for His enemies. Yahweh is slow to anger and great in power. And Yahweh will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is His way, and clouds are the dust of beneath His feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The blossoms of Lebanon wither. Mountains quake because of Him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by His presence, the world and all the inhabitants in it. Who can stand before His indignation? Who can endure burning of His anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by Him. Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. But with an overflowing flood, He will make a complete end of its sight and will pursue His enemies into darkness. When we see the verse 1, brothers and sisters, we have to know the background of this book. When we see verse 1, the Oracle of Nineveh, the Nineveh had been given the privilege of knowing true God under Jonah's preaching. We all know that. This great city had repented and God had graciously stopped His judgment. 100 years later, Nahum proclaims judgment to this city. The Assyrians have forgotten their revival and have turned to their violence, habits of violence, idolatry, arrogance, because Nineveh was a city built lost, surrounded by high walls with 200 towers. The city is very great, very protected, encircled by deep defense. If any enemy come, they can defend. They are very strong. So they are rebelled against God, who is creator of them, who forgave them before through preaching of Jonah. It was truly unshakable, an unconquerable city, strong city. But according to Prophet Nahum, the proud city and its inhabitants would be powerless to stand before wrath of God. That is the message to this city. And also why Yahweh is giving prophecy, the judgment against Nineveh, to comfort his people, to comfort God's people. In that mind, so we have read the passage, verse 1 to 8. It is talking about, the theme of this passage is, the sovereign Yahweh is our refuge. The sovereign Yahweh is our refuge. Look at verse 2 says. See, verse 2 says, a jealous and avenging God is Yahweh. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries. And also look at verse 5 says, mountains quake because of him. The hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth upheaved by his presence. Look at verse 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. So based on these words, we can say that the sovereign Yahweh is our refuge. He is sovereign because he is judging. Because we are seeing clearly, he is controlling the creation. So based on this, Yahweh is sovereign. At the same time, that sovereign Yahweh is our refuge. Three sovereign characteristics of Yahweh we find refuge in. The first sovereign character of Yahweh we find refuge in is, he is the great judge. He is the great judge. So we should take refuge in him. That is the reason why we should take refuge in him, because he is great judge. Because when we see verse 2 to 3, it is clear that he is going to judge his enemies. He is going to pour out his wrath upon his enemies. That is clearly saying that he is great judge. Four characteristics of the great judge. Four characteristics of the great judge. The first characteristics of great judge is, he is the jealous God. He is the jealous God. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand. We have to know our God fully. We no need to focus on only one side, his greatness and his goodness, those things. But I am focusing these things because we should know fully about our God. Our God is jealous God. Look at verse 2 says, a jealous and avenging God is Yahweh. The people often confused by two words. One is envy, another one is jealous. We need to know the meaning of jealous. Envy is zeal for another's property. Jealous is zeal for our own property. So here, the meaning of this jealous is, it has meaning being deeply committed to seeking the honor. Deeply committed to seeking the honor of his own. Here, word of God said that God is jealous. God is one who has zeal for his own glory, for his own honor. He will seek his glory, not our glory. We are not so important. God is so important. He will seek his glory because he is jealous God. Exodus chapter 20 verse 3 says that you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Yahweh your God, am jealous God. You should not make idols. You should not make other gods instead of me. You should not worship other gods instead of me. I want my glory. God is saying that I am jealous God. Yahweh is jealous God who would not tolerate idolatry and the people voluntarily placed themselves against God. If anybody placed against God, he is very jealous. He honors his glory. Worshipping idols and rejecting true God is a crime. Very serious crime. We see in this chapter, Nahum chapter 1 verse 14 says, why he is telling he is jealous God? Because these Ninevites are worshipping false gods. Verse 14 says, the Lord has issued a command concerning you. Your name will no longer be perpetuated. That means continued. I will cut off idol and image from house of your gods. I will prepare your grave for your shameful. God is saying that you are worshipping idols, I will take away. You will be shamed because of me. That's why he is telling, I am jealous God. Scripture represents God as a being jealous in his ways. He desires that worship be given to himself, not any other person. That's why Exodus chapter 34 verse 14 says that. Listen, brothers. Exodus chapter 34 verse 14 says this. For you shall not worship any other God. For Yahweh, whose name is jealous. His name is jealous. He is so concerned. He is deeply seeking his glory. He cannot tolerate idolatry. He cannot tolerate worshipping other person instead of him. John Piper said this in his book, one of his books, God loves his glory more than he loves us. You observe that? God loves his glory more than he loves us. And that is the foundation of his love for us. Brothers, God loves his glory. He is committed with all his infinities and eternal might to display that, to preserve the honor of his name. He is jealous God. Second characteristics of the great judge is, he is avenging God. He is not only jealous God, he is avenging God. Look at verse 2 says, a jealous avenging God is Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries. He reserves wrath for his enemies. He is avenging God. He is so wrathful. Meaning of avenging is taking revenge, taking vengeance. Here Yahweh is taking vengeance against Nineveh. Look at same verse. He takes vengeance on his adversaries. The adversaries means enemies. Enemies. We can see this in this book. They are so rebel against God. If you have free time, please finish book of Nahum. You will see how much they are rebelled against God. So God is holy anger. God's holy anger is righteous and just, not like human beings. If we angry, most of the time, that is selfishness and sinful. If God is angry, that is holy and righteous. Not only God's people he hates, and also when they have done sin against him, he will show his anger upon his people. Not only that, whoever violate his commands, whoever speaks against him, definitely he will show his wrath upon them. It is true, brothers and sisters, it is true, if God loves all that is right and good, if God is loving, that is right and good. If God is pouring out wrath, that is also righteous and holy, because he has that nature. God's wrath is against sin, is therefore closely related to God's holiness and justice. That's why he is pouring wrath, because he told that Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says that, for wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The all people are unrighteous people. They are not righteous. That's why God is pouring his wrath. He is taking avenging. Third characteristics of a great judge is, he is slow to anger. See, he is great judge. He is avenging God. At the same time, he is jealous God. At the same time, he is slow to anger. Slow to anger. Look at verse 3 says, the Lord Yahweh is slow to anger. What is the meaning of this? It meaning is long of anger. It means long suffer. Long before getting angry in such passage. You understand that? Long before getting angry. He will take long time to get angry. Otherwise, nobody will stand here. I have to preach dead bodies. Dead body has to preach dead bodies. Because we are all sinners. So, he has long time before getting angry. The thought is that God takes long, deep breath as he holds his anger in temporary pause. Long breath, you know. That means he has patience. If he has done, he will kill. He will pour out his wrath. He is taking long breath, deep breath. That is showing that he is slow to anger. That is very clear that in this book, in this occasion, on these people, the Ninevites actually were terrible in the way they treated their enemies. They beheaded the leaders of people. They conquered and collected their heads. They will kept heads of the leaders so that they become proud. See how much we are powerful. They will cut, beheaded the heads of the leaders. Sometimes placed a captive leader in cage, treating him like an animal. They are so dangerous, often they impale their captives, giving them painful death. Other times, they stretch the legs of the enemies and arms of captive and skinned him alive. They will skin him. They will take out the skin while that person is alive. That much terrible they are. They are very dangerous people. No wonder Jonah did not want to preach this great city. He wants they may die. He wants his enemies should die. That's why he did not go. Anyway, he went. He preached word of God. He preached gospel. they got saved. Why I am telling this story? God is slow to anger. If God is angry, he would destroy Nineveh. No need to prophesy again. He saved them because of he is slow to anger. He felt they deserved judgment, but he gave chance to them, and he is slow to anger, and he is compassionate. He is very patient. God's patience explains why the wicked often do not immediately receive the judgment. Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11 says, "Say to them, as I live, declares the Yahweh God, I take no pleasure in death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel?" God, Yahweh, does not have pleasure to kill wicked people. He is giving chance. He is showing compassion so that they may believe, they may turn back to him. That's why he gave chance to Ninevites first time. He is slow to anger. It is clear that, I'm giving more example, that God has to kill Adam and Eve that time only, when they have rebel against. Adam lived 930 days. Why? Because Yahweh is slow to anger. Not only that, he did not send flood on earth in Noah days. Immediately, he waited. 120 years, God has patience on these people. Am I right? He has patience. 120 years, he has patience. God is slow to anger. The fourth characteristics of great judge is he is powerful. He is powerful. Look at verse 3 says, "The Lord is slow to anger, great in power." He is more powerful. He is powerful than powerful nation like Assyrians. He is able to punish them. He is able to control his anger. That is also talking about his power. Assyrians, who had captive 10 tribes already, they may think that the God of Israel had been conquered by their gods. Our gods are so powerful than the God of Israel. They are thinking that. But here, Word of God says that he is powerful. He is great in his power. No need to help him to destroy these wicked people. He is able to punish these people. See, verse 3 says, "The Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished." Maybe this sermon is somehow not comfort to you. But it is true. You should know whole nature of God, your God. See, he is telling that Yahweh will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Definitely, he will punish. The wicked seemingly prosper does not mean that God regards them as innocent. If God is taking time to punish them, that does not mean they are innocent. We have to understand. He will not always account a criminal an innocent. He is not. Even though he is silent now, one day he will show his anger upon those people. Stephen Charnock, he said that if God should leave them without repentance for their crimes, he must himself repent of his own law and righteous sanction of it. God should repent if he leave them without their repentance. People used to say that God loves sinners. God hates sins. Is it right? Is it right? Why will God send sinners into hell? He hates sins and people who does this, who do this. Definitely he hates. That is wrong statement. God definitely cannot leave those who sin against him. See, brothers, we seen that God is powerful. He can able to kill. He can able to destroy his enemies. He has that power. That's why Joshua chapter 6 verse 21 says that they utterly destroyed everything in city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and donkey with the edge of this sword. God told that to Joshua to kill everybody. Why he is killing? Why he is destroying his enemies? Maybe some of you says that, what kind of God he is? He is killing women and people, so on and on. He doesn't have compassion. He doesn't have love upon these people. Even kids are there. Even pregnant women are there. Buddha, old women are there. They are killing with sword. What kind of God he is? Maybe you can ask. Let me give one example. You supposed to tell me. See, for example, one person murder someone else. Police caught him, arrested him. Then this policeman took bribe and he left. You go. Then this policeman wrote that, what is that? This person did not kill him. This is suicide. Then you came to know that. What you will say? What a merciful police officer. Will you say that? What a merciful police officer. He leave this criminal. You says that this is unjust. This policeman is corrupted. He is unjust. He is not doing his duty. Can you say that? Yeah, you can say that. If police is unjust and corrupted, please think that God is unjust, corrupted, if he leave sinners. Policeman has that justice. Definitely, the God the Father, Yahweh, has justice. He is not corrupted. He will not take bribe. Definitely, he will punish that. How is this possible? We are forgiven. No, he will not leave guilty. That is right. But we are sitting and praising God, praising Jesus, we are forgiven. That is happened in Jesus Christ. God did not kill us. God did not punish us, but he punished his beloved son. He punished because of us, because of our sins. He is just God. He is right God. He cannot do any mistake. That's why he is pouring out wrath. Whether if you believe in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, please listen. If you believe in Jesus Christ, God will not punish you because he already punished Jesus Christ. That is the salvation. Don't think that how much wicked you are. Don't think that I am bad person. I am not good. I cannot come to the God. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, God won't punish you. Why God is going to punish Ninevites? Because they did not come to the God. They did not come to the Messiah. They did not confess their sins to the great God who forgives them. Praise God for his righteous justice, because he is cleaning the world. Praise God for that. He let us go free by punishing his son. See, brothers and sisters, you should fear God. Don't take light. I can live whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. Nobody asked me. See, listen. The God is avenging. The God is wrathful. The God is great judge. He will judge you. You should have that fear. Whoever sees God, whoever knows God, definitely they fear God. They fear God. If you are not fearing to God, That means you will see his second nature. That is his wrath, his anger. The second sovereign characteristics of Yahweh we find refuge in. He is the powerful creator. He is the powerful creator. We can see verse 3 to 5. Verse 3b to verse 5. See why he is powerful creator. He is controlling the creation. He is controlling. He controls storm and clouds. See, look at verse 3b says. Verse 3 part b says, in whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds are the dust beneath his feet. The way of God is in every movement of creation. He rules all clouds, winds, storms. He blows up the winds. He creates winds. He sends winds to make them serviceable to his design. See, whirlwind comes suddenly. It will not give notice, I am coming. Why he is using this phrase? Because God suddenly come and punish. That is the idea. Because this God's people, they are thinking that, "Hey, Baba, these people will come and destroy us." But God is encouraging them. God is comforting them. I will come suddenly. I will destroy suddenly. That is the main idea here. He needs not to use his strength, but the dust of his feet. He said that. The clouds are the dust beneath his feet. He will throw all thunders, lightnings, everything upon his enemies. He is powerful. He can control the universe. Not only he is controlling storms, clouds, he is controlling sea and rivers. Sea and rivers. Look at verse 4 says. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. God uses nature to show his majestic power. God uses his nature to show how much omnipotent he is. See, verse 4 saying, he rebukes the sea, makes it dry. No tourism will be there in Goa. If he says that, the all ocean will be dry. We have to play the cricket on that ground. That is the power of God. He makes the sea big ocean. Do you know Titanic? The Titanic went into the deep. That much water is there. But when he speaks, when he controls, it will be dry. Not only sea, rivers also. We can clearly see that at Red Sea. What happened? He dried Red Sea. The people of God went through the sea. That is the power of God. Not only he controls sea and rivers, he controls rich and beautiful creation. He can control rich and beautiful creation. Look at verse 4 says, Bashan and Carmel wither, the blossoms of Lebanon wither. The Bashan, located below Mount Hermon, east of the Jordan. It is land patcher. It is the richest place. It is the richest place in Judah. Mountain close to Carmel, it is mountain close to Lower Galilee, was well known for its beauty, luxuriant countryside. And this is referring fruitfulness. This Carmel is referring fruitfulness. Lebanon, he said Lebanon, was beautiful because of cedar. Cedar trees are there. It is very beautiful. So why he is telling these things? He is explaining. He is comforting his people by giving example. Bashan, Carmel, Lebanon, weather. He will make them fade away. Even though that is beautiful, luxurious, and also it is fruitful, finally, to see, it is very nice, he is going to make that fade away. That is the God. See, another one. Not only he makes fade away rich and beautiful creation and also mountains. Look at verse 5 says, mountains quake because of him and hills dissolve. Can you see? The mountains will shake in his word. If he says that, mountains will shake. And also he used dissolve. Hills and mountains dissolve, disappear one day. If he says that, one day it will disappear. It is talking of mountains are symbols to the strongness, permanence and immovability. Can we say that? These are the symbols to the immovability, permanence. They are very strong. See, he said, earth and all inhabitants. Look at verse 5, says that. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence, the world and all the inhabitants in it. See, he is powerful. He is powerful to control the heaven and earth, hills, strongest places, everything. The violent shaking of earth is providing another truth, that is the Lord's awesome power. He can control the universe. Psalm 75 verse 3 says, the earth and all who dwells in it melt. It is I who have firmly set its pillars. One who create these things has authority to destroy these things. He has that power because Yahweh, your God, is creator, so that he can destroy. Why he is telling these all things? Yahweh is promising the judgment of Ninevites to Jews so that they may have comfort. He is comforting his people through this prophecy. They don't have comfort because of Assyrians. They are very strong. As I said, they have big walls with 200 towers. They are very strong. They are thinking that we are immovable. We are permanence. We rule the world permanently. So we are very strong. Because of that, God's people fear. They don't have comfort. So God is telling that, I am going to shake Assyrians. I am going to move the Assyrians. How much they are strong, I don't care. Because I am powerful creator. Because they are also created by me. I can destroy them. So God is comforting them. Brothers and sisters, please listen. Our God is powerful. He is powerful in your life. Do not be troubled at your enemies. Do not be troubled at your difficult situations. He is powerful. Maybe you are immovable like Ninevites. Maybe you are strong. Maybe you are thinking that I am very strong. I no need to believe God. I no need to confess my sins to him. So God is going to shake you up. God is going to destroy you if you won't confess your sins to angry God. I believe that most of you came to Yahweh. Maybe I am preaching this one to you who did not believe, who did not confess your sins to him. Maybe you have resources. Maybe you are living Goa. Maybe you have richest place. You have rich and greatness. You have big house. Nobody touch you. Maybe you have a political strongness. But God is going to punish you. This is true. If he punish Ninevites, definitely he will do with you. You are nothing compared to the Nineveh. You are nothing compared to the Nineveh. How much dare you have to rebel against him, to do sin against him without fearing. You are nothing compared to God. Third sovereign characteristics of Yahweh we find refuge in is, he is both angry and good. He is both angry and good. He has this two nature permanently. Don't think that God sometimes good, God sometimes angry. But he is both good and anger. He has that nature. As 1 rupee coin has head and tail, God the Father, Yahweh, has two nature. He is good and he is anger. Let me discuss. In his anger, what will happen? He explained that. In his anger, what will happen? He explained. See, in his anger, no one stands and endure. See verse 6. Look at verse 6 says, who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and rocks are broken up by him. Nobody is able to endure it. Nobody is able to bear it. If you think that I can live my life, I won't submit to Yahweh, you cannot bear. People always think that, see, that criminal, how much he killed. He killed very badly, no? We will discuss like that. But I am going to say you, nobody punish, nobody kill like God. If somebody killing one person, he will kill, he will die within 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. If God kills eternally, eternally he will throw into the hell. He don't have compassion. He don't have goodness. He don't feel that, see, are this guy is suffering a lot. He won't think that. If God kills, nobody kills like him. Nobody is able to bear his anger. I am not telling what it is not written. I am telling that it is clear that who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? Maybe he kill in this world, then he will kill you. He will show his wrathful anger eternally in the hell. This is true, brothers and sisters. I am not cheating you. I am not pleasing you. God is angry if you won't go to him. Not only that, in his anger, no one stands and endure. In his anger, no enemy will live. No enemy will live. Look at verse 8 says. Verse 8 says, but with an overflowing blood, he will make a complete end of its sight. He will pursue his enemies into darkness. Lord destroys his adversaries. See the word overflowing flood. God's judgment is overwhelming. Nineveh was to destroyed by flood. Look at verse 2 says, chapter 2, how God is going to destroy Nineveh. Chapter 2, verse 6, the gates of the rivers are opened. The palace is dissolved. Verse 8, though Nineveh was like a pool of water throughout her days, now they are fleeing. Can you see that? Now they are fleeing. Stop, stop. But no one turns back. See, God is going to punish them through flood, through Babylonians. Maybe they are strong now, but God is going to destroy them. No enemy will live forever in front of God the Father, Yahweh. Not only he is angry, he is both angry and good. In his goodness, what he will do? Look at, in his goodness, what he will do? Verse 7 says, he is good. Yahweh is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. What is the meaning of good? We have to understand. The good is kindness. It has meaning compassion. The Yahweh is compassionate, kindful to his people. In that goodness, he protects his people. He is stronghold in the days of trouble. The Lord is never failing, brothers and sisters. He protects all the days. If you are part of his kingdom, if you know him, if you believe in him, he never leave you. He always protect you. That's why Psalm 37 verse 39 says, salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Time of trouble. Not only he protects his people in his goodness, he loves his people in his goodness. Look at verse 7 says, he knows those who take refuge in him. This word is used for most intimate associate. It is not talking about knowledge. You know that. It is talking about the intimacy relationship. It is talking about love. God, Yahweh, has love with those who take refuge in him. We have to understand. He knows Moses by name and face to face. You know that. He knows Moses by name, face to face. Like that, Yahweh knows you by name, face to face. He has relationship. He knows you. He loves you. He does not love anybody. He loves those who take refuge in him. We have to understand, what is the meaning of refuge? What is the meaning of refuge is, it is used literally, taking a shelter. Listen carefully, brothers. Taking shelter from rainstorm. Taking shelter from danger in the high hill. It is talking about, this idea of refuge may well driven from the common experience of men at war. Somebody is defeating. Somebody knows that I am going to be defeated by enemies. He will run to the high hill. He will run to the refuge. He will escape. He will search the escaping place. All human beings are in danger. That is not because of coronavirus. That is because of God who sends coronavirus. God is very dangerous than coronavirus. God is very angry. We are all sinners. We have Adam nature. We won't please God. We leave ourselves. We please ourselves. We don't care about God. We sin against God. So God is coming to defeat you. God is coming to destroy you. So you need to escape. That is the idea. See, God is going to destroy you. At the same time, this Yahweh became your refuge in Jesus Christ. Yahweh became our refuge because of Jesus Christ. He is our refuge. Jesus is our escape place. We know that. John 3 verse 16 says, how it is possible? Angry God became our refuge. How it is possible? Because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. They have eternal life. They don't have eternal death. They will not face eternal death because they believed in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the hiding place, refuge, eternal life. Anybody who wants eternal life does not want eternal wrath. You should run to the Christ. You should run to the Yahweh so that you may be saved. If he is not good, he would not save Ninevites before. He is good. At the same time, he gave escaping place in Jesus Christ. Brothers, we are not better than them. We are more wicked than them. We have our own idols. You are so prideful like them because your strength, your resources, maybe. If God wants to see every one of your sin, nobody live in this hall. But you are enjoying the grace of God through Jesus Christ. You are singing joyfully to God because of grace of Jesus. Praise Him. Bow down before Jesus, who is your protection. I'm going to conclude. We have seen that He is a great judge. He is a powerful creator. And finally, He is both angry and good. Do you know about rabbit? They have danger from wild animal. Do you know that they do not take refuge on tree and bush, but in the rock, which is the edge of the hill, so that none can touch them? Why they are running to that place? Because they know they are weak. Because they know we cannot defend ourselves. So they run to the hill place, take refuge there. We should follow them. You need to have safety place. You should have hiding place. Otherwise, lion will kill you. Lion is not Satan, some other people. The lion is Yahweh, God Himself. To escape from God, you should hide yourself. I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, whenever you are, wherever you are, whatever situation you are facing in your life, there is a escape place. That is Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge to escape from the wrath of God, to escape from the avenging of God, escape from eternal death. God may help us to take refuge in Him through Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how great You are, how majesty You are. Lord, we are sinners. Lord, You saved us in Jesus. You became our refuge in Jesus Christ. Lord, without Him, we are supposed to bear Your wrath. Lord, You are being a good. You sent Your Son to save us, to give refuge. Lord, help these people. Lord, help them who are not believed in Jesus Christ. Lord, save who are not saved. Lord, help us to please You alone. Help us to fear You alone. Lord, help us to have intimate relationship with You because You are good. Lord, give joy in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.